Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
It's Kate
and JJ,
and this is an episode you did, honey.
I know. This is the first time we've ran a mini mainsode in the Select series.
Wow, you're a lucky guy.
But we don't even know if it's good or not, right? We just like the title.
No, it's a really good episode.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
So you listen?
Yes. No, actually, I think so. Maybe.
Okay, so let me ask you. When I say window shopping on dating apps, do you get that right away? Do you know what I'm talking about? Or
yes, of course.
Okay.
I'm a shopper, babe. I used to work in fashion, JJ.
Wait, so you're an online dating shopper too? Like you did this?
I mean, shamefully, yes.
Okay. That's okay.
I did it in the past. I mean, not towards my end of dating, but I have been guilty of window shopping.
Now, as a dating coach, she's been a dating coach much longer than I have.
Mm-hmm.
How would you define window shopping on a dating app? Like, what comes to your mind?
It's like you're just browsing, looking through the windows, looking for that perfect thing and kind of making a judgment from the outside.
I think that's a much better definition than I could ever come
up with. Well, when you think about window shopping, you're like not really there even seriously to make a purchase per se. You're just window shopping, you know, like I'm just looking.
Now, how
not even really trying to make a purchase. So
do you feel like when you sign up for a dating app, you just default to that, or you kind of grow into that attitude?
I think that dating online overall has become more consumeristic because we can swipe it's like so easy to do. It's almost addictive to swipe, 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 swipe. And we're so used to that method now with Instagram, TikTok, all these things. We're always swiping, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like there's a hit of dopamine as well.
But what is the hit of dopamine from? Like, I like this person and it feels good to check them out, or it feels good to have someone like me back and register a match. Where's the dopamine?
Oh, definitely the dopamine is when they like me back.
Okay.
Or like it's a match. You know what I mean? But I think there's like, you feel almost, I don't know.
It's like that rush of like approval.
Yeah. Rush of approval. But I mean, while you're swiping left and right, whether or not it's a match, I feel like, first of all, yes, it can get exhausting, but I feel like people also do it because it's like, ooh, it's fun to just be able to like be super picky, but nobody knows what I'm super picky about. Like nobody's inside my mind as I'm silently judging these people. So I get to kind of, other than the Lord, but like the Holy Spirit can hear your thoughts. Hey, so you are not alone. No, but truly, like we're just sitting there judging somebody and I'm like, too short. Don't like that photo. Swipe.
Wow.
I don't think you're holy enough. Okay. Swipe. You know, like just all these things. Don't like the way you do your hair. No. Ugh, gosh, I would never go out with this guy.
So what you're saying is that also feels good to do.
Yes. Yes. I think that does feel good for people because they're not having to like admit it out loud. And it feels good a little bit to just be able to like be super picky and pick exactly what I want out of the crowd.
Yeah. That's really interesting. I feel like it might be pride.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely.
That is like the soul, the like driving force of that.
Yeah.
Judgment.
Like there's a balance between, yes, you should be able to, you have standards. Okay. And there's going to be things that like shirtless selfie photo from a, like, I'm looking as a woman at a guy's profile. I'm like, yeah, I'm proud. If that's this guy's best foot forward, that's not going to be a match for me. Right. And so I'm not going to judge why he decided to put a shirtless selfie photo on his profile, but I know that that's a standard that I'm not willing to cross. I'm not, that's not going to be a fit for me.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between like, I have standards and I'm not going to swipe right on everyone versus, ugh, I'm judging them and like, ew, that's gross. Oh gosh, another guy like that. Oh, a fish photo, disgusting. You know, like just all these like judgmental thoughts.
Well, this episode is kind of interesting because it's actually written from the guy's perspective, which I would say actually changes for the guy.
Really?
Yeah. I'd say like for the guy, the pleasure, the majority of the pleasure from dating apps is the pleasure of, in some ways, looking at softcore porn. Like you're just having woman upon woman and you're getting to evaluate them under the maybe safety net of, I'm evaluating them as a dating companion. But really, you just have a hall pass to check them out.
Interesting.
Like you have a hall pass to really, really just check them out and kind of maybe fantasize about them, really like think about them, really just like, and I'd say there's just a lot as a guy, there's such a fine line between evaluating if you're physically attracted to them. Like I think we can answer that question in about a tenth of a second.
Right.
And that like lingering. So I'd say for us guys, it's really hard to just not just go on there and not really, really just evaluate, check out and just kind of go hard.
I hear that.
But yeah, that's what the episode's about.
That's really
good. From that window shopping perspective.
And I think this will be still good for women as well, because I think women can do what you're saying as well.
Yes.
But I really hope you guys enjoy this episode and this entire series we're doing on online dating. And before we dive into JJ's solo episode, we do want to let you know that this week, the First Dibs list, anybody on our First Dibs list for School of Dating is officially open.
Yeah. Now, in School of Dating,
yeah,
it's time back to online dating. What's your favorite teaching on online dating that we do in School of Dating?
Well, I love that we go through profiles. We give them examples of profiles of what to do and what not to do.
We go through your profile.
We do go through my profile. We go through random profiles. We go through JJ's profile.
Yeah. We have a lot of fun. We actually, we have a bunch of different profiles from, they're real people, unfortunately, but we haven't asked for consent.
They're anonymous.
Yeah. We don't even know who they are. I don't think they know, but we have like a bunch of different examples of what we go through in PowerPoint form. We're like,
yeah,
these are great. These are so close to being great. These are awful.
Yeah.
You know,
because it is kind of like your resume, what you're putting out there on your dating profile.
Totally. And how do you walk that line of like putting your best foot forward, but also not like living for the approval of others?
Right. And we talk about that.
Right.
So our First Dibs list is a list you can get on for School of Dating to be able to get our lowest price and be able to sign up first. If you didn't know, last time School of Dating completely sold out before we even were able to announce it to everybody at Heart of Dating. So our next class begins in June, this coming June. And if you want to get on the First Dibs list to get that special discount right now, you can do that because the discount, the price is $500 lower than it is normally. Okay. Which is wild. So all you have to do is text First Dibs to 214-225-7772. Also, they can schedule a call with JJ, right, honey?
Yes. It's so much fun. Those calls are like the highlight of my day. I just got off one. We were talking about price and the investment of Heart of Dating. I think that's my favorite thing to talk about is, you know, it's a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
It's a big investment.
It is.
But I love that.
But it's intensive for a reason. Like you get results.
Exactly. Like you get three years of results in 3 months.
Yeah.
That's what we amazing. Promise.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoy this episode with JJ.
Let's go. Okay, so here we go. On dating apps, this is such a fun episode. I love this question. It is so, so popular. If I had to give you guys a statistic right now, off the top of my head, I think before COVID, 40% of couples met on dating apps was the statistic, and that was before COVID. If I really had to guess, these are hard because you don't get these numbers until a couple years later. In 2023, if I had to guess, I would say it's probably about over half of couples are meeting on dating apps. Now, that probably changes for Christian couples, I would say. And then the other thing I would say, what's funny about dating apps is two things. One, I'm seeing a swing back to like a huge desire to meet in person. Like, there's always been frustration with dating apps, but I feel like there's kind of been like a tidal wave growing of just like dating app fatigue that's been building for years now. And there's just like so much desire for just meeting people in person that they're just way over dating apps, which I totally understand. If you're on them for years and years with no success, you would want a new system. And the second one is I've seen a huge desire to meet in person as a consequence of that fatigue, like I just mentioned. So when it comes to dating apps, I think they're here to stay for sure. But the degree of which we use them, I think we're still kind of trying to figure out because it's they've finally hit a point of maturity now. I think they're struggling to grow. You see that. And I think like Bumble is basically almost all pay to play. From recently what I heard, and they're trying to figure out, hey, how can we show revenue for our stock prices without the tons of growth that we used to experience year over year? So they've really matured, and that's it. So on dating apps, in every way, I want you guys from now on to think about them as one thing. Okay, we love to demonize, we love to spiritualize. You know, the reality is that with anything in life, we can really cut it down to one question. Does this glorify God? Does using this, does partaking in this, does smoking this, does drinking this, does this in any kind of capacity glorify God? Or can I use this in any kind of capacity to glorify God? Alcohol, wonderful example. Last night, I had wine in fellowship at the table with people who are very close to my life. We talked about God. We talked about marriage. We talked about relationship. I think entirely in every sense, in that capacity, the wine complemented the experience and we totally glorify God in that experience. It was incredibly edifying. And I think you're going to find that as a pretty common answer in practice by far and away nowadays. Now, when it comes to dating apps, that's exactly the question. Can I use this? And when I do use it, is there a way that it glorifies God? And I would say there's absolutely a way you can use it to glorify God. And there is absolutely a very, very easy way to misuse it and not glorify God. But the dating app itself is not evil. The dating app in itself is not holy in itself. The dating app is just a dating app. And when you guys think about a dating app, here is the analogy. You ready? You guys are going to laugh, but I'm serious. I've thought about this for years, and this is the best. This is the best one I've come up with. You guys are either going to hate me for this one or you're going to laugh at it. So dating apps, my analogy here is they're a buffet in every way, and here's six reasons why. Number one, it's just a venue. It's just a venue. A dating app, when you think about a dating app, it is just a venue to meet people, okay? Now, obviously, what we're going to talk about in every dating app is they're known for different things. Number two, they are venues, and they also have stigmas, like they are known for different things. If you think about buffets, there's different kinds of genres. There's buffets where you're going to smash some barbecue, Korean barbecue. You're going to be in there like the Fogo de Chao, Texas Day Brazil. You're there for one thing only, okay? Like if you don't get the meat sweats by the end of that buffet, like you did not get your money's worth. And then there's buffets that are known for a little bit more fine food. You know, there's sushi buffets. There's buffets where you can get steak and ribs and nicer, you know, you get the gist here. There's pasta buffets. There's a variety of venues where you go. And when you choose that buffet, the majority of the people there going, they know what they're going there for. Okay. So just hold on with me. Number three, what you get there dictates the experience. You can go to any buffet and they're going to have a lot of what they offer. And they're going to have, if it's an unhealthy buffet, like they are going like Golden Corral. Like when you go there, they're going to have a lot of unhealthy food. They're going to have some healthy food, but what you get there dictates the experience. Okay. And number four at a buffet, if you're not careful, and kind of the whole reason why you go there or a dating app is it's really easy to engorge yourself. And that's why I like it. That's why I like the real life human buffets is if you're not careful, if you don't have a plan, it's really, really, really easy to gorge yourself, to not have self-control and just let loose. Okay. That's why you have to be very, very careful. Dating app, same thing. It's so easy to engorge ourselves. It's like incredibly addictive. It's so addictive to just go on there and gorge myself and just looking at women. And number five, it can be successful. Like I can go to almost any buffet. I can eat well. I can adhere to my diet and I can be successful. Does that make the buffet for everybody? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. So dating apps, they can be successful. A dating app can be successful. Doesn't make it for everybody? No. There's some people who just, they can't adhere to the responsibility of doing a dating app well. There's some people who just don't even desire to be on a dating app. So can it be successful? Yes. Is it for everyone? Absolutely not. So number six, they're popular and buffets are always going to be around and they're here to stay. Okay. So if you don't like buffets, that's okay, but they are popular and they always will be. Like, I don't think you're going to get very far trying to shut down buffets. Dating apps, like they are very much here to stay. They're going to be popular and they're only going to remain popular in the future and moving forward. So the six ways that dating apps and buffets are very similar. Number one, they're just a venue for you to meet people. Number two, every buffet, every dating app is known for something in particular. Number three, what you do on the dating app and what you get at the buffet, you know, that kind of dictates the experience. Number four, it's really easy to gorge yourself. Number five, it can be successful. It just doesn't make it for everyone. And number six, they're popular and they kind of always will be. Okay. So that's okay. Here's my favorite part. I feel like when you think about it as buffets in this way, well, you can really get nitty gritty and use the stereotypes. Every buffet is known for something. Every dating app is known for something. So every buffet, this part was kind of fun. You guys do this on your own. I'm going to give you guys 2 or 3 seconds and then you think of the buffet that comes to mind and I'll give you mine. So the first one, most popular one by far and away, Tinder. Okay. What buffet in your mind is Tinder? Okay. 3, 2, 1. For me, it's the King China buffet. King China buffet. I mean, like if you didn't have a King China buffet in your neighborhood or suburb, like I don't know where you grew up. King China buffet, like you go there, there's dim sums, there's quick noodles, there's fried rice, there's stir fry. There's the classic crab cheese rangoons. Okay. Like when you go to the King Chinese buffet, there's only one thing on your mind for the most part. I'm about to go ham on some fried rice, some wontons, and some dumplings. Okay. Nobody goes to a King China buffet looking for a quality, healthy, nice meal that fits their caloric deficit in their macros. Okay. Tinder's the same thing. Like if we're being really honest, like that venue, people are there for one thing and it's to hook up. Like, sure, do people find spouses and partners there? Absolutely. But as Christians, if we're being really honest, like this is not the buffet as far as looking for a really healthy quality diet that fits. I don't think the King China buffet is quite there. Now, has it worked for select people? Sure. But is that the buffet that we want to find ourselves at for a healthy diet, you know, that really fits with the quality matches that we're looking for? Absolutely not. And go try it yourself. But listen, like use with heavy discretion because everyone there is there for one purpose and you're going to be swiping and seeing pictures that are just going to be soft porn the entire experience. I didn't even try Tinder, but I've seen plenty of screenshots and I don't even need to. Number two is Bumble. Now I would say for me, Bumble, the buffet that comes to mind is probably like a classic American buffet.
classic American buffet. You guys might have a better one. I thought about sushi, but no. A traditional American buffet has French fries, fried chicken, not just steak. They got the classic chicken fried steak, mac and cheese, roast turkey, and gravy. They have a salad bar, but it's pretty disgusting. Like, for some reason, that salad at that American buffet is like, it's extra cold and crispy, and it doesn't really feel like real salad. The tomatoes are so cold, and the ranch is like the most classic ranch. I don't mind that ranch, but it's like the most classic little petite salad. And then it's like mashed potatoes, turkey, mac and cheese, country fried steak. Like, these are very popular, I feel like, amongst the older folk and the baby boomers. This is Golden Corral at its finest. I'm sure there's some nicer ones. Like, if you go stay in Vegas, they have nice ones there. But the same point here, like, you can easily go find a healthy meal on Bumble. But the majority there is like to engorge, have a great time, hook up. Like, you might get a relationship, you might not. It's kind of like a 50-50 shot. Definitely, though, a little bit different from Tinder.
All right, guys, I want to take a quick moment to shout out my girl, Stephanie Mae Wilson, and her podcast, The Girls Night Podcast, which, spoiler, I have actually been on this podcast a few times, I think 3 times. This podcast is so much fun because Stephanie basically has a bunch of girlfriends on it to come over and chat about a topic that is central to a woman's heart. So sorry, guys, this isn't necessarily a podcast for you unless you want to see what us ladies talk about on a girls' night. But in her podcast, Stephanie talks about friendship, faith, relationships, self-confidence, and even our calling in life and how to create a life that we love. Steph is so incredible. I got to tell you, we are real life friends. And just recently, I moved to Franklin. She's here in Nashville. And she was like, Kate, can I come over and just like hold the baby, get you groceries, make you food? Like, I would love to do anything you need. She is the real deal, y'all. And I just love her so much. And she has such great, deep conversations with people. So go ahead and check out the Girls Night Podcast with Stephanie Mae Wilson. You can listen and subscribe by going to Girls Night Podcast on Apple, iTunes, or Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Let me ask you a question. How is your social battery right now? Do you feel a bit drained? Let me tell you, after moving and having a newborn and just all sorts of things, settling into a new house, I am so drained and my social battery is incredibly, incredibly thin. And I feel like because it's spring, it's like all of us want to get out and just do so much. Spring cleaning, all the spring events, doing all the things, like it is such a busy time of year. But I have a question for you. Do you feel your best self in this moment? Do you really feel that spreading yourself thin is bringing you true life? If you feel like you could use a break or just something to re-energize you this season, I want to tell you about BetterHelp Therapy. It is an absolutely incredible resource for those of us that need therapy for a more affordable price. Even if you haven't been in therapy, it's never too late to start. It's never too late to get rid of all the stigmas and actually just start taking care of yourself. I know so many people think, oh man, talking to someone once in a while or once every week, it's never going to really help me. What is that going to even do? But I promise you, once you develop a relationship with your therapist, it can be so profound and transformative. I also love that specifically BetterHelp is convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So if you are super busy in this season, don't worry because you can still fit in therapy because you can do it whenever you need to and you can schedule it virtually, which is so amazing. They also have Christian therapists, which again, I love that too. And guess what? You get 10% off if you visit betterhelp.com/HOD. That's better, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/HOD to get 10% off your first month.
And then number 3 is Hinge. So Hinge is funny. Personally, for a non-Christian dating app, Hinge was my favorite. I think I equate this to a brunch buffet. Like they got various sorts of breads. They have really, really nice butters, margarines, jams, honeys. There's like really obscure nut nougat creams, like not just sausage, but chicken sausage, turkey sausage, cheeses, egg dishes. They got oatmeal. They got like the nice, you know, Quaker oat kind of oatmeal and cereals. They got dairy. They got my favorite, which is the waffles. Like the point here is that Hinge actually has lots of quality matches. I know lots of Christians, like legit true Christians who use Hinge and they love it. And what's funny about Hinge is if you're not careful though, I would just say with discretion, absolutely. There's lots of attractive people, lots of people here who, if you engorge yourself, can very quickly get out of hand. So if you decide to go on a Hinge or maybe an equivalent is Coffee Meets Bagel, again, like I just think it's a good venue. It's got a lot of good quality options, like what we're looking for. But again, easy to engorge, lots of unhealthy things. You know, the cinnamon rolls that if we're going in with no sugar, those cinnamon rolls are going to look awfully good. Okay. If you go into Hinge and you don't filter by Christian, like you're just going to be looking at women who are very attractive and who are not Christian. And then all of a sudden you're kind of talking to yourself and justifying, well, maybe they forgot to put it on there. Maybe they just forgot to talk about God on their profile. Okay. See how quickly that kind of spirals out of control. Okay. Number four, what I have here is honestly two of our favorites. Holy app and Salt. And for me, I just think like these are like exactly what you're looking for. If you're going out to eat, there's not really all you can eat salad buffets, but there's definitely like all you can eat a la carte, sweet greens, Chipotle. Like if you're trying to stick to a healthy diet, like sweet green is a perfect example. You are going there. Sure, there are maybe some kind of combinations that are really easy to kind of tip the scale and make it a not healthy meal. But by far and away, that is a venue, exactly what you're looking for, really known for something in particular, healthy quality ingredients and meals, healthy quality Christian matches. Like you don't have to maybe quite filter as much as you had to on the other ones. Everyone there is there for the same, like they're known for something in particular. Everyone is going there to date, hopefully in a godly, healthy way towards marriage. Okay. Like it's not there. The purpose is not for hookups. The purpose is not there for people to engorge themselves. Like there's a very, very, very niche, unique, purposeful approach and venue to that app. It's pretty successful. It's oftentimes successful for the people who use it, not for everyone. And, you know, I think these are getting more and more popular and I just can't speak of these. I wish Christians collectively could all just decide like, you know, the secular apps we might use, but like, let's just make sure if we're going to use a dating app, like let's use Holy, let's use Salt, like let's get the legwork out of the way and not even have to filter through these, you know, secular matches and just date Christians and really make sure that I'm giving myself an opportunity to meet Christians who I normally might not meet. And so with dating apps and using them as a Christian, here's what I would just say. You got to set up rules for engagement. Here are your three rules for engagement. If you're a Christian using a dating app, here's what I would just say to you. Number one, with great temptation comes great responsibility and wisdom. If, for example, it's really hard to stare in person and check someone out, evaluate them, and really go there in your mind. On a dating app, you can visualize and stare and go anywhere in your mind. It's not just, you know, IG. You are going in and looking at people who you know are single. You are in a disposition to evaluate physical attraction. And if we're being honest, it's really hard and challenging as a man to go on there and just keep it to a simple evaluation. And that's where I'm like, when you're, and even then I would just say, men, like if I even had to challenge you to go above and beyond, when you go into the dating app, what are you looking for? Like, is it, do you just start at physical attraction? And if they don't pass your AB binary tests, you swipe without reading a single word on their profile. So I would just, you know, if you even wanted to listen to this and go above and beyond, I would just say, man, like, I would just challenge you to look at prompts and look at character first through their profile and then go to physical attraction, no matter what she looks like. Challenge yourself to go in that order. Okay. You don't have to swipe on everyone, but that's what I would just challenge you. But like, depending on the buffet you go to, if you go to that Chinese buffet, there's going to be, this is what I call window shopping. If you go on Tinder, if you go on Bumble, and as you escalate to Hinge or Coffee Meets Bagel, whatever it is, window shopping is this. I love sneakers. I love sneakers. If I had unlimited money, I would probably have 1,000 pairs of shoes, all kinds of Jordans. I have knockoff sneakers of the sneakers I love because I'm not about to pay $1,000 and I can get them for $70 from China. Okay, I have done that. I'm not proud of it, but I'm being honest with you guys. What I like to do, I like to scroll Instagram. I like to scroll StockX. I like to scroll the Goat app, the Nike app. I love to look at shoes that I have no business buying. That is window shopping. When you're on Tinder, when you're at the Chinese buffet, okay, when you're on Bumble and you're not filtering anything, you are going through and you're setting yourself up to window shop and look at women you have no business looking at who are going to do nothing but tempt you to visualize and fantasize. Like, that's the reality of Tinder is... You are just setting yourself up for very much a lack of success, I think. Like, if I go to the King Chinese buffet and I know my goal is to eat healthy, I am setting myself up for a lack of success, okay? Those cream cheese crab rangoons are going to be calling my name, okay? And it's going to be really hard to say no. So that's what I would just say. Number one, with great temptation comes great responsibility and wisdom. Number two, if you're going to use dating apps as a Christian man, set yourself up for success. Like, set yourself up for success with systems and accountability. So not just the dating app that you're going to, you know, we're going to go to a Sweetgreen, we're going to go to a brunch buffet. Like, we're kind of filtering out on the front end where we're going. And number two, regardless of the dating app, Holy, Salt, Hinge, doesn't matter. Just know that you're going into tempting territory. Like, I know I'm going to be challenged, and you are, and I was. So set yourself up for success. Like, if you know you're going to date, especially if it's like from Hinge, where the Christian filter, like, here's what, if we're being honest, we don't know. We don't know how Christian they are. We don't know their character. Like, it is just a religious checkbox on a Hinge profile. And we might have seen one prompt that alluded to a relationship with God. But other than that, we don't know what we're dealing with. So set yourself up for success if you're going to go out on a date. Listen, I'll be completely honest. I went on dates with people from these dating apps, and it wasn't clear. And it was so easy to date in a silo, make out, ghost, act like a complete fool, and nobody knew. Nobody knew. And I was not transparent. I was not vulnerable. We call it submarining. It's like when you have friends, community, and you just submarine. You go underneath the surface. Nobody's going to know. So set yourself up for success. And again, you know, on that same thing, these are incredibly addictive. Dating apps are incredibly addictive, not just for the temptation to lust and evaluate, but they're like a major, major, massive power source for some people for like validation. For heartstrings, like I call heartstrings. Imagine you have like little rings around your finger with strings coming out of them. What are those like dolls? Like, is it a quartet doll? I just sounded like a big dummy right there. I can't remember. I think it's a quartet puppet. Anyway, and you're just tugging on those heartstrings whenever you're feeling down, whenever you're feeling sad, whenever you're feeling a little depressed, you just tug on those heartstrings. Just tug. I got validation, I got intimacy, I got emotional infatuation, I got attention. Let me just tug and pull. And I think that's like, whether it's Instagram or dating apps, it's really, really easy to go into these places seeking that boost for self-confidence, the attention. So that's where I'm just, again, set yourself up for success, address this on the way in. And number three, hey, keep expectations extremely low. If you go onto the dating apps, you guys have a lot of success or you don't, like, first of all, just keep your expectations so low, super low of the other person, super low of their obligation to respond to you, super low in the chances that it will work out. I have a number for you guys and you're not going to like it. The chances of your matches ending up in a first date is this. Here's the number that it's not going to land. If you have 10 matches, 80% of those are not even going to end up on a first date. 80%. 10 matches and 80%, you're not even going to get to a first date with. Of those remaining, you're going to go on a date with those 20%, and you may or may not even go on a second date. So it's kind of hard. And here's another guarantee. You're going to get ghosted. If you expect to go on there and have an amazing experience every single time, like, you're kind of in for a rude awakening. So you guys have probably figured that out by now. So just expectations, holding it super loosely, super low. You're not going to get just rejected. You're going to get stone cold ghosted. It's going to be rough at times, but it can also still be very rewarding and it can really work. And so that's my thing on dating apps. I hope it's helpful. I hope that buffet actually made a lot of sense. And, you know, it's all that to say, if we're being really honest, like, there's great dating apps, and then there's some that people are going for one thing, and it's those cream cheese crab rangoons that do not fit in the diet. So don't tempt yourself, in case you couldn't tell. I'm a total sucker for those things, but I know they're disgusting. Okay. You don't need to shame me. All right. Don't rain on my parade over here. I know I haven't had them in, I think, 15 years. So I probably really built them up in my head. If I had to have one today, I'm like scared. It's kind of like meeting a hero. Like, you know, it's going to let you down. So you're just like, let it just be. Don't touch it. Don't ruin it. So I hope you guys had a good time today. I love you all so much. DMs are open. Can't wait to talk to you guys next week. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
The Heart of Dating podcast is created by Kate and JJ Tomlin. Shout out to our epic audio and video editor, Scott Caro. We have an amazing Heart of Dating team who helps bring the show to you each week. I want to shout out Kelsey Napier, our Heart of Dating digital marketing coordinator, and Elena Gibson, our brand and community manager. We couldn't do it without them. Now, if you guys have never ranked us or reviewed us on iTunes or Spotify, would you consider doing that? It would mean so much, because our podcast can get more discovered and more people can learn how to better date as Christians. Don't we all want that? We launch our podcast each and every week on Wednesdays. So we will see you next week.